This is a CBC podcast.
Back in October of 2023, the provincial government called an emergency session to pass laws related to pronoun and name use in schools. This week, the leader of the opposition called on Premier Scott Moe to hold another emergency session, this time to deal with impending tariffs from the United States. Carla Beck says the situation requires all 61 MLAs back in the House to debate. Now, that call has been largely ignored by the government, but the Premier is warning against full-on trade retaliation against the U.S., and he said coal plants might run past 2030 in Saskatchewan. To break it all down, we're joined by Murray Mandrick. He writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post. Good morning, Murray.
Good morning.
So, Murray, as I mentioned, the NDP won an emergency session. You and I covered that emergency session in 2023. Do you think the opposition leader has a point here, or is she posturing?
Framing's good here, because you have an emergency session because there's a crisis, which there is, and you have to deal with it through the spending of government money. Now, obviously, the session in the fall of 2023 was not a issue of money or a crisis. It was a political statement being made. The government didn't even debate it, so it was just, you know, a silly, useless waste of time, water under the bridge under today's circumstances. But moving forward to today's session, yes, we're spending money on the border. Yes, we're spending a few dollars here and there for more officers and everything else. But do we need 61 MLAs back to debate this? I think the NDP are trying to make a political statement. If they have something to say that they think should be done differently, they need to state that. I don't hear them doing that at this particular point. I think they just need to be heard, and they obviously want to have question periods where they can ask government about a lot of things, which is the real reason oppositions want to have sessions.
And Murray, we heard from the Premier on Wednesday in a speech that, you know, he warned against dollar-for-dollar tariffs from Canada in response to that 25% tariff from the U.S., and he said a trade war would be a losing one for Canada. What did you make of his comments?
Well, I think he's right. I don't think it would be effective against Donald Trump, but that begs the question, what would be effective? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't think anyone in this country knows the answer to that. Everyone or a lot of people saw his press conference related to the tragedy in Washington regarding the air collision. It was nonsense. It was crazy. It was silly. So what do you do other than hope in 2 years, and this is the hope of most, that there will be a change in the House of Representatives, both in Congress and Senate, that will somewhat mitigate Trump's power or ability to pass bills by not having a Republican-dominated Senate that's absolutely fearful or beholden to him. That is a big wish. So right now, what we do as Canadians, sadly, is just take a deep breath because this one's going to hurt a bit, and it is going to hurt a bit. And I don't know if there's any way to avoid tariffs. I think some of the strategies we've seen from Premier Moe and others about trying to reach out to contacts in the United States and maybe trying to appease some of the issues, because not fixing the border or not doing some of the things that Trump is doing does give him excuses to proceed. But I think he's going to proceed anyway.
When it comes to Trump, and you mentioned, you know, that there's a 2 year wait potentially until we see a change in Congress or the Senate. In the meantime, Trump could do lots of damage to Canadian markets, to the economy, through in just whims. And even last night, I saw that there is speculation that maybe he'll exempt some things. Oil could be in that exemption. Just how do you deal with someone who's so unpredictable? And as you said, you don't know what they're doing from day to day.
Well, this is new territory, and this is even version two of Donald Trump is far worse than version one, because he has discovered the incredible might of the U.S. presidential office, particularly when you have you're backed by Congress and backed by the Senate and other things. He has unlimited power. It's like the genie is out of the bottle, but the genie's a little crazy, and not in a fun way, in the way that we're basically seeing right now. I've seen it before in this province, where people wandered into office thinking that they could think back. And I'm a bit old, so I could tell you these old guy stories.
Yeah, it's cue our old timey music here for Murray.
That's right. But back in 82, when the divine government came in, it was just give us a few years or a few months and we'll fix this. This isn't even that version. This is far more malicious in terms of things that he thinks he can do and he is seemingly doing with the unlimited power that he has. So there's no great solution right now other than for Canadians to stick together, stick to the script, stick together as Canadians. Don't go off on these strange notions that, gee, we'd be better off with joining the States or a few other nonsense things that I'm seeing from supposedly legitimate columnists in this country and otherwise. This is not a good thing to do. Placating Donald Trump doesn't do any good. Ask any of his friends or so-called friends.
Speaking of legitimate columnists, I'm sitting across from one right now, and you wrote a column about coal plants. And the news that's kind of been trickling out a little bit under Jeremy Harrison made a comment about this. Scott Moe went a little bit harder on it, saying, you know, maybe we will run coal plants past this 2030 drop dead date. That even surprised Estevan's mayor, who came out. We had him on Blue Sky earlier this week. And it's also troubled environmentalists saying that we have to phase away from coal. What's been your reaction to this news?
Well, it's hardly surprising because we don't have alternatives right now. There's no SMR that's on the horizon or that can be built cheaply. This is very bad for the people of Estevan, obviously, but it's very bad for Saskatchewan electrical users, which is all of us, for the obvious reason that we're being clobbered right now with higher rates, and this will be exceedingly higher rates. Now, putting these decisions off doesn't really change anything. And ultimately, this is the direction that we have to go. But it is a matter of timing. And it is, and I think one of the problems is both people from the environmental side and people that are pro-coal, et cetera, need to start listening to each other a bit more than they obviously have. There are people actually in SAS Power, formerly in SAS Power, that probably differ quite greatly with the corporate line right now, that the conversion is exceedingly difficult and can't be done immediately. It can't be done immediately, but it can be done over the course of time, and they are on the path to do so because we're seeing it in wind and solar and other investments that they're making. But in terms of that base load power, in terms of moving ahead with SMRs, there has to be some logic injected in this conversation as to what is the alternative. We don't have we're opposing a nuclear option for bad and good reasons. The bad reasons, we just generally oppose this notion, thinking we're Three Mile Island, which is quite different than little SMRs. But we're also opposing it from the notion that it can happen right away it can't happen right away, and somehow wind and solar are going to be our solution. Well, they're really not. Not in terms of this problem in the distribution system we have. So this is a huge mess. When there is a huge mess, governments do take the path of least resistance. And the path of least resistance right now is to delay the decision. And I think that's kind of what they're hoping for. But certainly natural gas power generation, things that the federal government hasn't been terribly flexible on, there's all these things that we need to more seriously consider in a more full way than we have been. And this is where the conversation, I think, has to go.
And you also wrote about the province and how it's handling a treatment facility in Lumsden. This is something the opposition flagged. They had some people come out who are raising some concerns about how that's being run. And the government's favored this treatment model, but this facility is not fully operating as even the government expected it to and was signaling it was going to at this point. What's the issue here?
Well, the issue is the notion that somehow day programs can work for these people, picking them up at a bus location in North Regina and sending out to Lumsden today for treatment and hoping they follow that treatment schedule seems a path for failure and whatnot. I'm not so sure or as convinced as people within the industry are that what's happening right now has been working perfectly. And the government is certainly wrong-headed to basically suggest that things that save lives right now in terms of safe consumption sites, handing out crack pipes, things like that, that actually kind of do save lives is sort of a bad thing. So once again, this is one of these issues where we need a bit of a reset, moved away from the political answers that were given kind of close to an election time to basically sell votes to something more meaningful. what we see in Lumsden has to be corrected in one form or the other. There has to be greater expectations put on these facilities by government for treatment for the amount of money we're paying for this, because otherwise it won't work.
Murray, thanks so much for this.
You're very welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.